Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Sarah, and this is the second part of our two-part episode on the text assigned for All Saints Sunday, which was this past Sunday, November 4th. If you joined me for that first episode, I talked a bit about the saints in my life, the people who have died in my life that I miss. I asked who the saints in your life are. And I also am wondering if you belong to a tradition that celebrates saint days. Some traditions do, some traditions don't. Catholics do, Episcopalians do, Lutherans don't necessarily exactly celebrate feast days, although there is a book of celebrated saints. So we recognize saints in a different way maybe than some other denominations, but I'm curious if you belong to a denomination or a tradition that does recognize and celebrate saints. Maybe you have a saint day that you celebrate, you know, the saint that you're named after, etc. There's all kinds of ways that people celebrate saint days. And then I also wonder, who are the saints of that ilk, of that variety, that you look to in terms of people that have inspired your faith? Maybe it's someone like Mother Teresa or some of the more modern saints. Well, Mother Teresa is one of the modern saints. Maybe Martin Luther King Jr. is one of your saints. He is listed in the Book of Saints that I have. As I said, it's a slightly different version of saints than maybe the Roman Catholic Church does, where they have a very specific process. But people who are inspiring in your faith can be considered saints. So I wonder who those people are. Some of the more, let's say, classical saints. Saint Francis of Assisi might be one. There's all the gospel writers are saints. There's just a lot, and for some reason my brain is drawing a blank when I'm trying to come up with some of the names. Some of the mystics that I read in college, they had some really interesting ideas on faith and how their relationship with God, how their mysticism affected their relationship, or influenced, I guess, their relationship with God. Just really interesting people, and definitely lived lives to the best of their ability to act out the faith that they had, to reflect that relationship they had with God, to reflect the relationship that they had in terms of the covenants and the promises that God had made to them, with them, for them, etc. So I'm curious as to who the saints in your life, both those people that you loved in your life or love, who maybe have gone before, but also the saints of faith that, you know, you've never met, but who have inspired you in different ways. Maybe with their writings, maybe with their actions, maybe with their work for social justice, whatever it is. I would love to hear from you. So if you happen to be a user of social media, you can hit me up on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I'd love to hear from you. So anyway, we are here to talk in the second part of the episode about the New Testament texts assigned for this week of All Saints. We covered the Old Testament texts on Sunday's episode from Isaiah and Psalm 124. And now the first text for today comes to us from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 through 6a, and those verses are as follows. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said this, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." So again, that comes to us from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 6a. And a few thoughts on Revelation. First, kind of a snarky pet peeve of mine. There's a lot of television shows, a lot of movies that have kind of an apocalyptic bent to them, and they quote from the book of Revelation a lot. And okay, I get that. I don't always agree with the theology of those movies, but you know, I can usually suspend my disbelief. But you know what drives me crazy? Supposedly, these characters are biblical experts, and so they're quoting from the book of Revelation, and they always, 98% of the time, I just made that up, that most of the time, these so-called biblical experts call it the book of Revelations. And I just want to say, if you are looking up the quote, maybe you could actually notice that there is no S on that word. And, you know, if you're a regular person and you say Revelations, I'm not yelling at you. I'm yelling at the people who write for television and movies who are supposed to be fact-checking these things. And if you can't notice that there's not an S when you are writing a script, well, yeah, then I'm screaming at the television or whatever it is. I try not to do it in the movie theater, but I yell at the television a lot, much to my husband's dismay when he's like, "Would you just move on?" And he's right, of course. I do just need to move on. But Revelation is often used in this way, in this apocalyptic, scary, awful, horrible way. You know, you get scary movies, you get thrillers, you get kind of horror movies. And it's a weird book. If you read through it, it is weird. I took a class in seminary in Greek where we translated the book of Revelation, and it's great to translate because it's so repetitive that you really learn the vocabulary, the Greek vocabulary. And so it's helpful in that way, but when you read through it, it is weird, it is scary, it is creepy, but that's not all it is. What we miss when we focus only on the scary apocalyptic elements of Revelation is that it is a book of hope. The revelation as given to John, that's what this is, the revelation to John, is one where John lived in a time of oppression, it was a scary time, and you know, maybe now you're living in a time, you feel like you're living in a time that is scary, and things are going in ways that you wish they wouldn't go, and you look around the world and think, is there hope? Well, yes. So if you were to write the book of Revelation, you would write all of those things that scare you, that seem like the world is going to hell in a handbasket, pardon my French. And then you would notice this promise in Revelation. This part that we read today, and there are other parts in Revelation that often this part is read at funerals, because it is where the hope is. Our hope lies in God. That is where our hope comes from. Our hope lies in God's promises. Our hope lies in the fact that death will not have the last word. Our hope lies in the fact that God comes to live among mortals. God, in the form of Jesus, came and dwelt among us as a human, experienced our pain, experienced our suffering, experienced those things of the human condition and the world around us that scare us, that make us frightened and a little sick sometimes when we see them. God experienced those things through Jesus, as Jesus. And then it says that God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away. And the first things are those scary things that we go through in life. But we have that hope. We have that promise that because of Christ's life and death and resurrection, death will be no more. That crying and mourning and tears will be no more. We have this gift. And it really is a book of hope. I mean, yes, it's scary and it seems, but it's not literal. It's saying, okay, the world is scary and this is what's going on. people often look at the book of Revelation as like step by step to the apocalypse. Well, this will happen, this will happen, this will happen, this will happen. But it's more than that. It is, the world is a big and scary place, and a lot of craziness happens, and a lot of things that we can't explain happen, and a lot of metaphors happen, and these things are depicted in the craziness of Revelation, in the scariness of Revelation. But then, ultimately, at its core, it is a book of hope. Yes, things are bad now, but God came and dwelt among us in the form of Jesus. And then God, and because of that new covenant that God created with us through Jesus, death will be no more. And that's why we read this often at funerals. That's why we read this this week or on Sunday for All Saints, because it reminds us of those promises. We do have to take our first break of the podcast, but when we come back, we'll start looking at the gospel assigned for this week. It comes from the Gospel of John. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast, and I'll be right back.
Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome back to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast. We are talking, of course, about the New Testament text assigned for All Saints Sunday this past Sunday. We just finished before the break talking about the text assigned from the book of Revelation, and got a little heated. First I was snarky, but then I was heated because I think people take Revelation in the wrong way and forget to look for the hope that's involved there. And I understand it can be really overwhelming to read through that book. It can be very scary, but it really at its core is a book of hope. And I hope people can start it's my wish that people could start seeing it more in that way and focusing on that hope, focusing on the promises of God that are present there, as opposed to the scarier stuff, because that's always going to be present in our lives. The scary stuff is always there, but so is the hope. So are God's promises. God is always present no matter what we're going through. So that's just my soapbox for today. It's time to move on to the gospel reading assigned for this week. And as I mentioned before the break, that comes to us from the Gospel of John. On, you know, certain days we deviate from the assigned text, assigned gospel for the year, and read from the book of John. We did it a lot during the season of Easter, and now on All Saints we do again. And so this comes from the book of John, chapter 11, verses 32 through 44, and those verses are as follows. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." So that's our gospel for this week. The Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 32 through 44. And again, it's easy to see why this would be chosen for All Saints Sunday. It's always important to point out that Lazarus was resuscitated, not resurrected. This is not the final resurrection. He was resuscitated. He was dead. And then Jesus brought him back to life. But it's not the resurrection that we have the promise of. Lazarus will, you know, did die again. And the promises, of course, of the resurrection were still there. But this was not that resurrection. But it was indicative of the fact that we have promises from God. We have this amazing Savior in Jesus who can do amazing acts. And so, you know, as I've said probably a billion times, this is All Saints. All Saints was November 1st. All Saints Sunday was November 4th. And now here we are in the middle of the week. But it's still the week of All Saints. And, you know, a day when we remember those in our community who have died in the past year, our family, our church, our lives, however. And it's a day, as I said at the beginning of the episode, when we remember all the saints in our lives who have gone before us. And I talked in the first episode, for the first part of this episode, about my grandparents and how they were saints. And I said, you know, that my Grandma Mary was kind of occasionally a little difficult to get along with. One thing that always made me laugh was she would call and you'd answer the phone, "Hello," and she would go, "Oh, hi." It was always like she was just surprised that the telephone worked in the way it was supposed to, you know? Like, "Oh, wow, I dialed this number and the person I was meaning to talk to actually answered." It just always made me smile. She was always so cute the way she said it. And and I mentioned that she also kind of loved us through food in a different way than my Grandma Sylvia, but my Grandma Mary made the best grilled cheese sandwiches. I don't know how she did it. I've never been able to duplicate it. I do know she made homemade bread, which is always a good thing, but I don't know what kind of cheese. Oh my gosh, they were so good. I'm now having a food memory and wanting to go drown myself in grilled cheese sandwiches made by my grandma. At any rate, all of my grandparents, of course, and my aunts, as I mentioned, who have died, were and are beloved children of God. They were all simultaneously saint and sinner, as we talk about in the Lutheran Church, and they were all part of the family of God and the community of Christ, just as each and every one of us are. There is a reason that I end every episode by reminding you that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God, because you are. Doesn't matter how bad your day has gone. It doesn't matter how you think, you know, you've failed or succeeded or you've done the wrong thing or said the wrong thing. It doesn't matter. God still loves you. You are still a beloved child of God. And so All Saints Sunday it's important in the life of many communities, many congregations, because often those congregations will specifically name those who have died in the past year. Maybe sometimes they name others who have died further back, but most of the communities that I belong to have named specifically the people who have died in the last year to remember them. And I read once that maybe we should say we should say instead of those that we have loved and lost during the past year, we should instead say those we have loved and released instead of lost. Because we confess that they are not lost, but they've simply moved into the nearer presence of God and are safe in God's keeping. And I think that's a beautiful reminder, and it's a lovely way to look at it. It's important to invite these hallowed moments in the life of a community, the moments in which we both grieve for the loss that we feel, because that's so important. Even as we give thanks for the lives our loved ones led and for the promises of the resurrection that they now enjoy. And I talk to people when they are either planning their own funeral or planning the funeral of a loved one, and they say, you know, I want this to be a celebration. I don't want it to be sad. I don't want there to, you know, anything depressing. And I get where they're coming from, but you have to leave room in your life to mourn. That person is no longer with you. And yes, the promises of the resurrection are incredible and should be celebrated. You should also celebrate the life and the memories that you have of that loved one. But they've left a hole in your life. Even though you have those promises and the promise that you will see them again at that future feast in the kingdom of God, that hole is in your life now. And so you have to leave room to mourn. You do have to leave that room. It can be a balance, but don't ever let anyone tell you that there's a timeline on grief or that you're doing it wrong. You grieve in the way that you grieve. But the text that we read today from the Gospel of John is a good example because it has both mourning and joy present within it. As we know, Jesus receives word that Lazarus is ill, and we didn't read this part in today's verses, but he receives words that Lazarus is ill, but he stays where he is for a couple more days. And by the time he arrives in Bethany, Lazarus has already died. And there's a lot of talk about why this was and was it necessary, etc. I don't know, but that's the story that we're given. And by the time Jesus arrives, Lazarus has in fact died. And he's greeted by Lazarus's sister, by Lazarus's sisters, Mary and Martha, who we remember from another story, right? The serving versus listening story. But they both address him, Jesus, with the same statement. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. In today's text, in the text that we read for this week, we only read Mary's words, but they are an echo of Martha's just a few verses earlier. So we don't read this whole story. We kind of come in the middle of it. But both sisters say to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. We are going to talk more about that in a moment, but we do have to take our second break of the podcast. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast, and I'll be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
To the GSMC Bible Study Podcast, and we are talking now about the Gospel of John, which is assigned for this All Saints Sunday. It tells the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, and at the break, before the break, we just ended with that very kind of damning sentence of, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And in some ways, we can understand that, right? When we rail against God, we might look at that sentence and think, wow, those women have some guts to speak like that to Jesus. But at the same time, we can take all of our feelings, as I've said before, to God. And we do, right? We say to God, why? Why did you let this happen? You could have prevented this. So both of them say that to Jesus. That's how they both greet him. And as I said, we can probably all understand the grief and the pain that caused both Mary and Martha to greet Jesus with these words, but it's also important to read them in the context of John's gospel as a whole. beginning in John chapter 2, the narrative arc of this gospel account is constructed around a series of signs performed by Jesus. John is a different gospel from the other three, just in the way it's laid out and the way Jesus does the signs. There's a lot of differences, but you know, it tells the same story just from a slightly different angle. So these signs inspire many who witness them to believe in Jesus and inspire some people to worship him as well. So Jesus raises Lazarus, and he Lazarus is returned to his family, but the text also points forward to a much greater joy, and that this story is a foretaste of what is to come. It's a foretaste of the feast to come that we talk about in a lot of liturgies. Jesus raises Lazarus, but as I said before, Lazarus will eventually die again. The sign that Jesus performs is much greater than simple resuscitation, although it is a resuscitation. I can only imagine the joy that Mary and Martha must have felt to have their brother back. But that joy is only a fraction of the joy that we will feel at the last when we are united with God, with our loved ones at that feast for all eternity. This is the feast that we look forward to every week in traditions where we gather together for communion. That small bit of bread and that little sip of wine remind us of the promises that have been made to us. They remind us what those promises point to, and they point to the gift of grace that will take us to the heavenly banquet, where we will feast with all of God's creation in celebration of what God has done for us. And we've already talked about both Isaiah and Revelation, but they both point to the feast that we read in the verses that we read for this week. And I spoke some about this when I talked about Isaiah in the first part of this episode, and then talked about Revelation being a book of hope. But both of those texts also point to this future feast, this future celebration of the culmination of the promises that God makes. And because of these promises, we are all made new. We are all saints. When we look back at the Lazarus story, something that struck me and strikes me sometimes when I read it is that it is Jesus who raises Lazarus, but it is the community that Jesus then asks to unbind him, to help unbind him. They are the ones that step in to unbind him. Jesus does the raising, but then he steps back and lets the community come in and help in this process. Jesus performs what is perhaps his most significant miracle, but he also instructs and expects the crowds to participate in, to actually complete his miracle. Both of these things matter, that we participate and that we complete the miracle. It is Jesus who has the power to heal, to feed, to restore, to bring to life, to redeem. But at the same time, he seeks to involve us in these actions, perhaps often even expects us to complete them. In fact, you know, that's what we've been charged to do, to continue doing Jesus' work in the world. So all of this in turn brings me back to why this is a powerful message for All Saints Sunday. Saints aren't just those who have died. Rather, saints are those who have been declared holy. And at this point, let me be clear, being declared holy is God's work, not ours. We can't just simply say, yep, I'm holy, I declared it. This is my friend Joe, he's holy, I declared it. That's God's work. It's not ours. We are not holy because of some inherent quality or because of what we have done or said, but simply because God calls us holy. Most basically, the Bible names holy those things that have been set apart for God's work. And here's the thing. Any work that we do in faith can be called holy. No matter how lowly or menial you think it might be, any work that we do in faith can be called holy. That can be, you know, changing the diapers of our kids, changing the diapers of someone else's kids, in preschool or daycare, perhaps, or volunteering, or creating a home where love and laughter resound, or deliberate deliberating about which candidate to vote for. You know, it's election week. Hopefully you all voted yesterday. But that can be holy work. Doing that in faith, doing your research, voting for the person that you think will carry out the work that you believe God is doing in the world. That can be holy work. Visiting a neighbor who has a hard time getting out, befriending that kid at school who sometimes gets picked on or bullied. There's so many ways that we can do work faithfully and it will be holy. You probably get the idea, but there's very little in our lives that can't be a place where God is at work to heal, to comfort, and to restore if we look at it in that way. We are all saints because we have been made holy through the waters of baptism and the promises of God. This is why we often do a Thanksgiving for baptism on All Saints. Maybe you belong to a tradition that does that. Maybe you don't. A remembrance of baptism, a remembrance of the promises made to us during our baptism. God makes each of us holy through the waters and the covenant of baptism. And we are reminded of the promises of God every time we gather together as a community around the bread and the wine. We remember those gifts of grace, the tangible gifts of grace and the promises of God. And we remember that we are called. All the work we do in the world that benefits our neighbors is God's work, and it's holy. All of us then are saints, which doesn't mean that we're perfect. Of course not. We're still human. And as such, we still sin. We still fall short of the glory of God. We still make mistakes, etc., etc. But this is why we remember the waters of baptism. In the waters, we are made new. We die to sin and we rise in Christ. This is why we should remember our baptisms each and every day. Martin Luther said, whenever you wash your face, you can remember your baptism. You can remember what those promises were that were made either for you or by you on your baptismal day. And so we gather on All Saints Sunday to remember those saints who have gone before us. We are given space on that day to grieve their loss, but also to remember their influence in our lives, both the good and the bad. Even though as we grieve them, we can also celebrate, knowing that they have gone before us to experience the gifts and the promises of God in a whole new way. Even as we mourn for those who have died, even as we remember their imperfections and those things we wish might have been different, we can also emulate those things they did that were holy. We can remember and celebrate all the ways they were created and called and how those callings were carried out through the grace of God. And so I hope that you remember the saints in your life all week, not just this week, but all the time. May you remember the saints in your life today and every day. And may you feel in those memories the love and the promises of God that also make you saints and make the work that you do holy. And that's where we're going to wrap it up for this week. Thank you so much for listening to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast. Join me again on Sunday when we're back to Pentecost. We are back to the season of Pentecost, but just a couple more weeks and then it's Advent. I'm very excited. Advent's my favorite season. So thank you for listening. Join me again on Sunday. In the meantime, have a wonderful rest of your week. And please, please remember that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.